All right, let's hit the field.
All right.
Just wanted to talk, that's all.
It was game 22 of 162, and the first place Yankees were taking on the division rival Tampa Bay Rays. Luis Gil and his electric stuff on the mound, but would he be able to harness it this time? Plus, would Aaron Judge get it going? My recap, your reactions coming up next. This is NYY Recaps.
Welcome to Yankee Stadium.
New York City.
Just when they thought I was out,
they pull me back in.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, and thanks to everyone who has chosen NYY Recaps over a live Rangers playoff hockey game today. That really does make me feel good. Sunday afternoon baseball season finale, or series finale, not season finale, against the Rays and Oakland Athletics coming into town tomorrow. Just a real quick heads up before we begin. Tomorrow's a day game, so I'll be on around 4 p.m., so don't miss it. We'll hop on with a recap right after it's over. So, got to welcome back my co-host from another coast, Terrence Kemp. What's up, my man?
So glad to be back. It's been a little while, but I'm happy to be back. What are we, like 22 games in right now? That's just over 13% of the season of 162 games. So it's going fast. It's going quickly, but I've been enjoying it. Been playing well thus far. Some things maybe a little bit concerning here and there, but overall, yeah, you got to be pretty happy with where they're at, I think.
Yeah, so here's the deal. People have been, becoming fans of yours in the chat. Got a little bit of a fan club growing. They've been asking, "Where's Terrence? Where's Terrence?" So I have to be honest with you. He's been in prison. No, didn't you have a vacation or something, right?
First of all, my grandfather's an attorney, so if I was in prison, he'd be getting a phone call. But no, I was not in prison. I had a lot going on. I was doing a move. I was away, so there was a lot happening. But you know, I was always following the games. I'd send Derek a text here and there, just like, "Hey, what do you think of this?" Or, "Oh man, that play sucked," or whatever. But
a text. It's more like a block of seven texts. Whenever something bad whenever something bad happens, MF this guy, MF that guy, this guy's mother. That's how he texts me.
I'm like a block texter though. Like I fire them out quickly, like one after the other. That's how I do it. I don't know why. I'm not like a big paragraph person. It's just like one after the other. Very
stream
quickly,
of consciousness. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So we got to talk about today's starting pitcher. That's what really set the tone for today. Luis the Real Deal Heel. He had that good stuff going. He was throwing strikes today, which has been an issue for him until the final two hitters he faced. 5 2/3 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, but it was on a balk. So it counts as an unearned run. 3 walks, but only 1 through the first 5 innings, and he struck out 9. So far this season, 2.75 ERA, 19 2/3 innings, 29 strikeouts, 17 walks, 8 hits allowed, opponents batting just .125 against him. What'd you see from him today? What are you seeing from him this season?
I'm pretty happy with what I've seen this season. Look at those numbers. They stand out as one of the best starters in the staff so far this year. Even before Tommy John, when he came up briefly, he always had great stuff. I always kind of felt that he had the ability to, but the problem with him was command. We always were kind of concerned about the command. Usually guys that throw hard like this and have a lot of movement on their stuff, it's tough to control that, but it seems like he's maybe figured something out. And if that's the case, awesome. He's going to be a huge help until Gerrit Cole comes back, and brings up a very interesting problem when Gerrit Cole comes back, if he keeps this up, because are you going to send him to the bullpen if Cole comes back? I'm not really sure, honestly. He might just stick around. He might just pitch his way into the rotation. So very exciting stuff to see. I'm happy with it so far. His stuff is always looking electric. The command, I thought there were some isolated at-bats where maybe he lost the zone for like 3 pitches, but he kind of was able to lock it back in, which is impressive. It's impressive to see a young pitcher like that make an adjustment on the fly while you're pitching in the middle of the game. Not a lot of guys can do that.
Yeah, and people complaining about me not wearing the fun hat. Can't fit it over, or the headphones over the fun hat. So I wore the little baseball fun hat, whatever. But, all right, so obviously a great job by Luis. We'll talk about him more in a minute, but let's go through the blow by blow.
All right, let's go. Let's get it going.
Chat's filling up. Everybody wants to talk about Aaron Judge. Obviously, he's been struggling a lot. Took a fastball right down the middle to strike out his first at bat. That tells me the problem might be between his ears rather than some kind of a physical thing or an abdomen or oblique or whatever. Second at bat, he ripped a line drive single. It was an infield single. It one hopped the third baseman, but it was, you know, scorched. Third at bat, he grounded out softly. Fourth at bat, he struck out looking. So, you know, JFK had this quote after a meeting with Nikita Khrushchev: no significant progress was either achieved or pretended. What's your concern level with Aaron Judge right now?
I'm at a weird level. I don't think there's any need to be concerned about Aaron Judge unless there's something physically wrong with him, which he has said in many post-game interviews that he's fine and that he feels fine. I think that he's shown us enough in the past the type of player that he is. I also think the lack of at-bats in spring training has a lot to do with this, a lot to do with the slow start. Maybe he didn't prepare the way he normally does in spring training. I did see a video of a guy bringing up a point that in 2022, when he hit 62 home runs, he had a lot quieter of a leg kick than he does this year. So maybe there's something going on mechanically there. I don't think it's anything that he can't correct or he can't make an adjustment for. But yeah, like you said, there is maybe something going on mentally that happens a lot in baseball. Baseball's a feel game. So when you're up at the plate and you really put a good swing on a ball and you barely feel the ball coming off the bat, there is like a repeatable kind of feeling to that. So he just may feel sort of out of sync, out of time. The timing's off. I'm not super concerned. Maybe some solutions. Would you flip Soto and Judge in the lineup just to see if that could help him get started a little bit? That was an interesting idea. I'm not sure about that, though.
Let's talk about that. I mean, that's something that I was staunchly opposed to in the beginning of the season because I want, you know, ideally, if everybody's playing well and healthy, Soto's walking and getting on base, and then Judge is hitting the ball out of the ballpark, so you get a lot of crooked numbers. But right now, Judge isn't getting a ton of pitches to hit. I mean, last night, almost every pitch was a slider away. Now, he did have some pitches to hit today that he took, but I think he's just getting a little bit, mentally kind of indecisive there. You know, taking pitches, guessing, trying to, you know, think his way out of this instead of just hitting. And I think maybe if you do flip-flop those guys and you put Soto behind Judge for a minute, even if you got to hit Judge leadoff for a minute, then, you know, maybe he gets some pitches to hit, you know, with Soto behind him. Volpe right now, kind of slumping in the leadoff spot. He was doing great and he's kind of slowed down. So, I mean, maybe that's something that you get to keep Soto in the number two spot and still get Judge in front of him.
Yeah, I think there's probably a few things you could do. Volpe in the leadoff spot, I do see that as the long-term position for him over his career. Was he ready for it when they switched him there? He certainly was playing to that level. Some people were arguing that it was a bit too early. I see their point. I can understand why some people may have felt that way, but he still hasn't slumped to the point now where it's just like, oh my God, he's not even handling this at all. He's still been fine. If you want to switch him back to the sixth hole, just to kind of get his confidence to a point where it's so high that he can kind of hit anywhere. I'm not really sure you want to do that. Maybe it'll hurt his confidence if you move him out of the leadoff spot. Sometimes that happens with guys. Volpe doesn't really strike me that way, but you never know. Yeah. But with Soto and Judge, yeah, my only thing would be the way the lineup is right now, as far as Volpe, Soto, Judge in the first three, I like that. I do want that to be the first three guys in the playoffs. But you may just have to switch some things around just to get Judge going a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
You've got to get going because he's obviously a huge piece of this team and he's an enormous part of the equation in terms of the success of the overall lineup. So I don't really feel like he's seeing the pitches that he should be seeing in the three hole right now because he's struggling.
Yeah. And honestly, 15-7 with Aaron Judge basically not hitting at all and Gerrit Cole out completely, there's a lot to like about that. So RBI single from Rizzo today, that put the Yankees out front. I thought it was important for them to score first and to score early because they got shut out yesterday. Gleyber Torres fouled a pitch off of his ankle and could barely walk. I was shocked that they left him in the game. I thought they were going to pull him out. Guy could barely walk. At that point, you had eight innings left. Struck out in the at-bat, but he picked up a hit his next at-bat, so I guess he's okay. Luis Gil balked in a run. He had a couple of balks today. I feel like as a young pitcher, base runners are going to try and mess with you, are going to try and screw with you. And that's just something he's got to learn from. I mean, we can't really fault him from that. That's something you learn, you know, as a professional over time. So now he won't make that mistake again, hopefully. And I thought the command was really good today until the last two hitters. He had some deep counts, but he was able to dial it in when he needed to. He was on normal rest. I would avoid giving him extra days rest. You know, last time when he had the extra days rest, he was just wild as hell. That's something with those electric fastball guys that throw 100. If your command isn't amazing, you can really, really get wild when you're too amped up, right? So I feel like keep him on normal rest if you can. Big rally for the Yankees in the fifth inning. We had three walks, had a go-ahead single from Alex Verdugo. He had a good day. RBI single from Trevino, and then a big hit from Oswaldo Cabrera, who also had a good day. Two hits, and he smoked one in the bottom of the eighth, but got robbed. Verdugo definitely been playing better recently. He had three hits today. I'm surprised the Yankees are allowing him to wear those yellow cleats. Let's talk about that, man, because I had some comments about this on Twitter today. Some guys like, well, how can you be against the beard policy but want them to have, you know, standard cleats? I'm not saying they need to have standard cleats. I'm saying they should match. Like, you should wear team colors when you're playing with your team on the field. That's just my thought. And I might sound like a crotchety old guy like that, but that's just the marketing in me. I like things to be on brand, is what they would call that. So what are your thoughts on the cleats from Verdugo?
Okay, first of all, I'm 23 years old. I'm a young Yankee fan. So I think that I have the floor to kind of say that I'm a young fan and even I think it's weird or I don't really like it that much. The yellow cleats are just a bit much. Marcus Stroman was wearing red and white on his opening day start in Yankee Stadium. I understand that there's red in the logo you see in the hat. I get it. But for me, red makes me think Red Sox, and I didn't really like it. I think the chrome cleats he wears on the road are pretty cool. The ones with the road grays, like that, that's fine for me. But also, like, they have the Star Insurance patch on the jersey. So, like, clearly they don't really care anymore about the whole, like, keeping the Yankee brand. You might as well just sell the naming rights to Yankee Stadium and make it, like, you know, fucking Home Depot Park or some shit. Like, I'm just saying, like, it's definitely been relaxed a lot over recent years. I remember talking to my dad about the ad on the sleeve, and he was saying, like, they'll never do it. They're the Yankees. I was like, no, they're going to do it.
$25 million a year. They're doing it.
Yeah. And I was like, the compromise I came up with was maybe just on the road grays. You don't touch the pinstripes, but I guess that was too much to ask for. So
yeah,
the yellow cleats, I'm kind of surprised. I'm with you that they allowed that.
Yeah. I mean, I have no problem with guys wearing jewelry, guys having beards, guys doing the do-rags like Stroman, whatever you want to do. I just think that you should wear your team's colors. That's just kind of, you know, old fashioned to me. Anyway, Dennis Santana just playing bad today, gave up three runs in the eighth. Victor Gonzalez came in to close it out in the ninth inning because Clay Holmes pitched 2 days in a row. No sign of Ian Hamilton today, which kind of surprised me. Great play to end the game. I wasn't able to capture the highlight, but we can show it on the screen here. I'm going to pull it up. Victor Gonzalez making the play to end the game. We'll just pull it up right here. All right, so I have to pause it every few seconds because of the copyright rule. So backhand slap and just gets him.
Yeah, way to stick with that.
Yeah, that was a great play. That was a great play to end it. And as we like to say around here, Mr. John Sterling, take it away.
Ball game over. Yankees win.
All right. The Rangers apparently winning 3-0, so let's hear it for them real quick.
Oh. I'm going to watch the game after this.
So, all right, as is with going with custom, whenever somebody else joins me for the post game, they get to pick the belt winners. So who you got?
I think you got to go with the real deal heel, man. There's no one else I think I should serve him about.
Luis Hill. I don't know how many belts he has, but that's definitely a couple.
Yeah, he's a young player. He'll get there, though.
Yeah. Frankie's keeping track. I don't see him in the chat, but if he's on, he'll let us know how many that is for Luis Hill. Yeah, big step forward for Luis Hill. I think not only this game, but in this season at large, he's showing incredible strikeout stuff. So far, 29 strikeouts in under 20 innings. That's pretty damn good. You want to go through the box score here? Take a little look at the box score over there. So we got 9 hits today. We out-hit the Rays 9-5. The only multi-hit games were Verdugo, who had 3, and Cabrera, who had 2. Volpe 0-for-5. He's kind of face-planted over the last several days. I think he's about 1-for-25 or so right now, hitting .288. He was hitting about .380 about a week ago. Soto 0-for-4. It's going to happen. He did walk, so he continues to get on base. Judge 1-for-4, hitting .183. Couple of strikeouts. Stanton 0-for-2 with a couple of walks, hitting .227. Rizzo 1-for-3, hitting .235. I feel like he's going to get going soon. He had a couple of ugly swings today, but he's not a .235 hitter. He's going to hit. Torres 1-for-3. Verdugo 3-for-4. Trevino continues to hit. He might be grasping that starting catching position and picked up a ribby, and then Cabrera 2-for-4. Cabrera hitting .303 on the season. So how you feeling about the catching situation? You think Trevino is going to kind of start stealing the majority of the playing time? He's the only one producing.
Yeah, I don't know. For catching, and especially in today's game, I feel like it's always going to be a platoon situation. It's a position that beats you up quite a bit. I think it's important to rotate the backup catcher, and almost like hockey does it with goaltending now, where their backup goaltender is like almost the starting goaltender. I think with baseball and catchers, it's almost a similar role now, where it's a position that beats you up quite a bit. So they're both going to get their licks and their at bats. Trevino is definitely producing more now, but if you want to do you want to start Wells against certain pitchers and Trevino against certain pitchers because, the analytics say whatever, that's fine. Yeah, he's been producing lately, but it's a long, long, long season. Like I said, we're only about 13.5% the way through. Still got a lot left to go. I think for the baseball season, you really should only look month to month. Don't ever look at like a week, because you need a large sample size to be able to tell a story. So, month to month, we're April 21st today, so another week or so. Then you can assess how the month of April went. Obviously, Judge is not going to be very happy with that so far, but something's telling me May he's going to start to turn it around. The weather's going to get a little warmer. The ball's going to fly out a little bit more. Verdugo had that fly ball today. It was one of those rare fly balls that didn't even get to the warning track, but when he hit it, I was like, that might be gone. It just kind of died in the air. You know what I mean?
So allow me to interject something about Judge here. He still has a chance for a good April because we got the Oakland A's coming to town. Yeah. Future Sacramento A's.
Yeah, he's looking at the top right now.
Yeah. Hey, we got to get a quick word from our sponsor, about 30 seconds, and I'll be back with Terrence, and we will wrap things up here. This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, and it helps you browse the internet in a secure and private way to protect your online identity. And as a bonus, using a VPN is a great loophole to avoid the MLB blackout rules on MLB TV. NYY Recaps fans can get 4 months free on a 2-year plan, 3 months free on a 1-year plan, and there's a 30-day money-back guarantee if you're not satisfied. Go to nordvpn.com/NYYRecaps to get started. All right, so just going through Luis Hill's stats one more time, since we got over 600 in the chat, just to kind of reinforce how good this guy has been. 2.75 ERA, 19 and two-thirds innings, 29 strikeouts, 17 walks, so almost a walk per inning, so that's no good. But because he allows so few hits, just 8 hits allowed, his whip is still a very tolerable 1.22. That's still pretty solid. Opponents hitting just 125. That's Joey Gallo level. Again, that's worse than Joey Gallo against him. And he has yet to allow a home run. That's a big deal for a young pitcher that doesn't allow home runs and gets a ton of strikeouts. It doesn't seem like he gives up much hard contact at all.
No, how can you hit it though? His stuff, first of all, he throws like 99 miles an hour and it moves everywhere. I don't even know how you really get a good piece of it. With him, he just has to fix the command. That's like the last piece of the puzzle. And I'm confident Matt Blake will maybe be able to tweak some things in his delivery or, you know, fix some things mechanically or just here and there. But if he fixes the command where he has that sorted out, we're talking about a potentially elite pitcher here. Seriously. Yeah. He's got stuff at that level. And it's the last piece of the puzzle is the command, which it is for most young pitchers who throw really hard. Sorry, there's like a helicopter outside. There's, I don't know, the apocalypse might be starting or something like that.
Got OJ on the freeway there. Well, I can't be OJ.
Yeah, OJ's on the freeway. Exactly. The white Bronco is sold for $1.5 million, and now it's on the freeway, and everyone's freaking out.
So Doug Rao says, just seeing this NordVPN thing a day late. He just signed up for NordVPN yesterday and MLB TV. Look, Doug, this is why you have to subscribe and you have to watch every single day. So if you're new, like and subscribe. It helps other fans find the channel and other fans find NordVPN. And we are approaching 39,000. We're about 1,750 subscribers away from becoming the third Yankees channel to cross the 40,000 threshold. And once you hit 40,000, things start to like rocket up. Like it's just, it gets crazy. So we got to get there. So if you're new, if you're watching, if you're not subscribed, go. If you want more Terrence, I want to be able to pay Terrence to come on and join me every single game because I have such a good time talking to Terrence. I know he's tired of trying to become a movie star out there in Hollywood. So let's make him a full-time podcaster so he doesn't have to fight crime in his black turtleneck anymore. All right, Terrence, any final thoughts on what you've seen from the Yankees over the first 21 games or 22 games now?
Pretty happy with what I'm seeing. Unfortunately, the Cleveland Guardians decided to randomly be good, so I don't think Emmanuel Clase is going to be available at the deadline. I've been very vocal about that. Aaron Boone wants Emmanuel Clase too, but that's besides the point. That play, by the way, that was in the highlights just there by Oswaldo, that was a beautiful play. Super underrated. I don't think people really appreciate when they watch a game and you see a guy in the infield make a play like that. That is such a tough play to make, and he made it look so easy. So Oswaldo, every year there's a surprise guy. I think Oswaldo might be that guy early on, especially, but just for the entire season, Oswaldo might be that surprise guy this year. He's played really well.
Yeah, he was my pick to break out last year, and obviously it didn't happen. He had a huge spring training, if you remember. I think he hit like 5 or 6 home runs, and everybody's saying, oh man, this guy's going to break out. And then I think he kind of left it in spring training, and he kind of got off to one of those starts where, you know, it was a bad start, and he starts tinkering with things, and then he was just never right the whole season. He spent the year hitting with Judge and Glaber in the offseason. So 2 of the 3, as Meatloaf would say, not bad, hitting so far, and hopefully Judge will get actually 1 of the 3 because Glaber's not hitting at all either. So, yeah.
Also, isn't he like switch hitting, but not really switch hitting? Like,
yeah, he's hitting
certain guys.
He hits left-handed against lefties sometimes. It's weird. Yeah, I guess he's a natural lefty in terms of hitting, and we've seen him. He hit lefty against Josh Hader. He hit lefty against a few other guys, but he's hit
one of those things though where it just simplified it for him. And just made it simple and it's just allowed him to just go out there and just not think too much and just hit the ball. Sometimes guys think too much, I think.
Yep. All right, let's wrap it up here. Final questions here, final comments.
I gotta get out of here.
Lori C says New York sports are fun right now.
Oh yeah.
You got playoffs going, you got the Yankees in first place. Mets playing well.
Yep.
Andrew Collado says keep Terrence. Gotta say I agree.
I haven't. It's not an A. It's a new. Just
game over, man. Game over.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back tomorrow afternoon. Reminder: 1 o'clock game. So I'll be on probably around 4 o'clock. I might be a little bit later than usual because I work foul territory. They're on 1 to 3. I'll have the game on. I'll be listening to it, watching it, but I won't be able to grab as many bells and whistles. And then when it's over, I'll hop on and we'll talk about it. So until next time, see you then.